This is PCJ Radio International.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. Today, we have a special treat for you. Now, I'm sure that many of you listening right now remember the two Bobs. Who are they? Well, that's Bob Zanotti and Bob Thoman. For many years, they hosted the Swiss Shortwave Merry-Go-Round on Swiss Radio International. From time to time, they do produce new content for Bob's website, Switzerland in Sound. So today on the program, we're going to rewind the clock and just imagine what it was like listening to the Swiss Shortwave Merry-Go-Round on Swiss Radio International. Now, I'm sure that many of you don't remember the program, but this is what it was like. So close your eyes and just picture that you're listening to SRI.
Hello, friends and neighbors. A hearty welcome. This is Bob Thoman, speaking to you from the Emmental, believe it or not. We're at Bob Zanotti's place, and he's the guy right next to me.
Holding the microphone. Welcome back to the Emmental, Bob. It's been a while since you've been here. You've come very frequently during the decades, the 32 years as we speak that we've lived here. And this isn't the first time you've come up to talk to a special guest here we have in our home in the Emmental here, the headquarters of Switzerland in Sound. On a beautiful day, it's not too hot, it's pleasantly cool, a little bit of a breeze blowing here at 2,500 feet, 750 meters. And right next to me, we spoke of a special guest. He is also not a stranger to this house, but we haven't seen him for a long time, at least here in our home in the Emmental, and that is Jeff White, who is a guy we've known for decades. We'll get into that story in just a moment, Jeff, and we'll reminisce and shoot the breeze a little bit as we've done years ago, Bob. But I want to bring everybody up to date because Jeff is in Switzerland because he was the organizer of, as we speak anyway, the latest meeting of the HFCC. That is the High Frequency Coordinating Committee. Jeff is also the president of the National Association of Shortwave Broadcasters in the United States. And last but not least, Jeff is the owner and operator of shortwave station WRMI, Radio Miami International, broadcasting with 50 kilowatts to the Caribbean and Latin America, and using also an Orban OptiMod audio processor that I was able to arrange for them, but that's another story. Jeff, welcome back to our home in the Emmental. Good to see you.
Well, it's great to be here, Bob, because I think it's been about 20 years since we've been here. It's been too long. I can tell you now, sitting here in the mountains and looking at the cows and the horses and the beautiful scenery here and the beautiful weather, it's been far too long. So we're pleased to be here again.
Well, we did see each other in Lugano for the EDXC in 07, there, November 07. Just unfortunately two days before my dear friend Dick Dawson died. I'll never forget that. But this is the first time you've been up here at the house for all that time. Bob, when did you meet Jeff for the first time? Do you remember?
I asked Jeff just about half an hour ago. He suggested Barcelona at the DXCC meeting, which I wasn't there.
What year was that?
I think, Bob, that it might have been the first time I came to Europe was 1981. Remember when Swiss Radio International hosted the EDXC conference, European DX Council conference here, and I'm sure you were there.
Bob.
Oh, yes, in 89.
81,
that's a lifetime. Well, that's right, I recall the meeting there. Now, for a lot of us, and a lot of us hams, shortwave is on a decline, is on a way down. How does it look broadcasting-wise on shortwave?
We have to mention HFCC stands for High Frequency Coordinating Committee, and you can maybe, in your answer, Jeff, explain what that group is and its reason for existence?
Well, it started about 1989 with the fall of the Berlin Wall, the end of the Cold War, when the impetus actually came from the Czech Republic, from the frequency manager at Radio Prague, Ulrich Chip, who founded the HFCC. But he wanted to get together the Western and the Eastern countries, and it started in Europe, but now it has become, the membership has become worldwide, basically, including the Arab States Broadcasting Union, which sort of merged with these conferences that are held twice each year now to plan or coordinate HF frequency usage by the broadcasting stations for the following frequency period.
Well, let me just jump in a moment, Jeff, and say for those who are unaware that HF is the technical term for shortwave broadcasting. High-frequency broadcasting is the technical designation according to the International Telecommunication Union.
That's right. And there are two seasons a year for shortwave frequency planning, the so-called summer and winter seasons. And a few weeks before each season begins, all of these countries get together and have a big conference. They get together in a big room and coordinate their frequency usage. The idea being that no two stations should be on the same frequency at the same time.
That's not a good idea.
To the same target area, at least. And so are able to avoid collisions, as they call them, before they happen. And if there are, they all put together, in they're all together in one room, and they have a big database, a big technical system for sending the frequency schedules to a master database and then back out to all the other stations or administrations. Some of them who attend are telecommunications administrations. And they see what the potential collisions are. And if two stations intend to be using the same frequency at the same time or sometimes adjacent frequencies, anything that could cause potential interference, then what they do is they literally walk from one table to another and negotiate a solution. And the solution may be for one station to change a frequency. Usually the one that's been using it the longest time has priority. The solution may be one station lowering its power or altering the antenna beam. Or something like that.
It's a real technical meeting, then.
It's a technical meeting. It's kind of a miniature United Nations because you have the technical people, the frequency planners from all sorts of stations. You have the Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians and the South Africans and the Americans, of course, and just about everybody in the world. And they all get along quite well. They all know each other because they meet twice a year together, and there's about 110, 120 of them or so, 130 maybe, that get together. And since they know each other and they deal with each other regularly, they're able to come up with solutions and cooperate and solve these problems before they happen.
And I think formally and in the end, the ITU gives its stamp of approval, the administrations, which because it's a governmental organization, formally the HFCC gives its proposals to the respective government administrations, and then they go to the ITU. Bob, frequency conflicts and QRM, as we say, you know, interference, that used to be a real headache, especially during the Cold War, because nobody was talking to anybody. They were just fighting it out on the airwaves. And it certainly, if you tune around the bands today, the situation is a lot cleaner than it was years ago.
Those were the days, Bob. And we were trying to fight the intruders as well as, you know, as it was. You had stations on frequencies, and when SRI went down and closed down, immediately we had other stations using the same frequencies and so on and so forth. But I have two questions, actually, Jeff. First of all, 50 kilowatts. What is the mode?
That's WRMI, the station in Miami.
Yes, just standard, good old AM modulation. No digital for us yet.
Okay, that tickles, of course, an old subject we had at SRI in our program. Have you ever considered in swapping to single siphon?
You know, I don't know if our transmitter is capable of running single sideband, to tell you the truth, but no, we really haven't. It might be an interesting thing to consider sometime. But now, you know, everybody's talking about DRM, you know, Digital Radio Mondiale, and moving into the digital era. And that is also hard for us because we have an old transmitter from the 1970s, which we bought from Radio Clarín in the Dominican Republic and is sort of refurbished. And I understand that it's not all that easy to convert this particular transmitter to DRM. Whether it could operate in SSB, I honestly don't know. But for the meantime, anyway, we're stuck with a good old standard AM shortwave modulation, I think.
Well, this is a very passionate issue with you, Bob. It has been for years.
That's true, but to tell you just in one word, single sideband would, of course, improve the efficiency. It would reduce the bandwidth, and especially in cases of QRM, neighboring, you know as well as I do what the advantages would be. But the transmitter as itself must be designed to handle single sideband. There's no doubt about that.
Or else it blows up. Especially using the audio processing equipment you've got, that Orban OptiMod with heavy clipping, I can tell you as a user of it on my ham radio station, I recovered the unit from Schwarzenberg when it closed down in 1998. I was able to get it, and I tell you, it really puts the equipment through its paces, even though I'm using equipment, including a linear amplifier and a transceiver, which are designed for sideband. Yeah. It really increases the duty cycle there, so you've got to be very careful. This is if you're using an old transmitter, that's a legitimate problem.
But I'll tell you, of all the equipment that we've ever bought, I think the best buy that we ever had was that Orban OptiMod processor, because it makes 50 kilowatts sound like 250, you know? I mean, it's a fantastic piece of equipment, and it's...
Yeah, I didn't steer you wrong, Jeff.
No.
And I know a guy in Boston, Dan, WNDAN, he's a broadcast engineer and a ham radio friend of mine. He was the one who asked me, do you know anybody who wants to buy it? I said, I think I've got a customer for you. Now he wishes in private he hadn't sold it. He misses it so much.
Well, he's not getting it back from us.
Jeff, what did you say the frequency was?
9,955 kilohertz in the 31-meter band.
Bob, is your excellent location you have. Have you ever heard the station?
I have, especially in the winter, but not recently, because the beam, it doesn't favor Europe at all, Jeff. If we hear it at all, conditions must be extraordinarily good.
Yeah, we're mostly beaming 160 degrees towards, I think it goes straight through Barranquilla, Colombia, and Buenos Aires, Argentina, if you go straight down 160 degrees from Miami. So it's pretty difficult to pick it up in Europe.
Now, what about the programming, Jeff? I mean, you've had a lot of political programming over the years. You've had a lot of religious programming, I think especially number one of the Cuban exiles, beaming to Cuba. The result was you get jammed by the Cubans. The other thing was the religious broadcasters. Is that basically the content of the station these days?
Well, we started out, yes, as brokers before we even had WRMI on the air, but we operated as Radio Miami International, buying airtime on other facilities. And the main clients in the beginning were indeed the Cuban exile organizations in Miami that wanted to broadcast to Cuba. But over the years, we've had a whole variety. I mean, for example, when President Aristide was in exile from Haiti and operating out of the Haitian embassy in Washington, he had 3 hours a day of programming via Radio Miami International transmitting to Haiti. We've had programs to Peru, programs to Argentina, programs to various parts of Latin America. Mostly, you know, on shortwave, it tends to be mostly political and religious, as you know. Not that much commercial, although we are a commercial station, but most of our clients are non-commercial. It is mostly the political and the religious clients, although in the U.S., there are about 20 or 25 so-called commercial or privately owned shortwave stations that are licensed by our Federal Communications Commission. We're one of them. And we're probably one of two or three that operate commercially. The rest of them are pretty much religious organizations that broadcast their own programming. Ours is a little more has a little more variety. Ours is probably the one that has the most political programming on it. But we have a whole variety of things. We have cultural programs, people who buy airtime to do musical programs of various sorts. It's a whole variety. We sell blocks of airtime, and people buy it to do whatever they want. They can run commercials on it. They can, essentially, as long as they don't break the law, they can do anything they want to with the airtime.
So you're a relay station. You're selling airtime to whoever wants it or who needs it.
Well, yes, and in fact, we've done relays for various stations for many years, and until just recently, because of budgetary problems, we were broadcasting programs in English and Spanish, and for a while in Czech, from Radio Prague. They were using us as a relay to transmit to the Western Hemisphere.
What are the chances you're going to the Internet, Jeff?
Well, they're 100%, because we're already on the Internet. Really, for about 4 or 5 years now, we have simulcast everything live on the Internet. If you go to our website, wrmi.net, there's a little thing that says Listen Live, and you click on that, and you can hear all the programming simultaneously on the Internet.
Basically, Jeff, I mean, you know my philosophy. Bob and I have discussed this, and there's hours of our discussions here on Switzerland and Sound about it. But let me repeat briefly here. I think everyone at this table realizes, believes, and subscribes in one particular factor here, and that is the security factor. So many organizations are putting all of their eggs in the Internet basket. And, of course, it's all run by bookkeepers and bureaucrats. And they go, well, we can save enormous amounts of money by going on the Internet. But, Bob, you're an old hand at this. You know exactly. You've installed HF systems. You've worked for the Swiss government. You know the dangers in investing too heavily in Internet and satellite. But a lot of people today, especially younger people who didn't come through the shortwave era, they say, who needs shortwave? The Internet does it all for us. Bob, how would you answer these people? They're forgetting that the Internet and satellites are very easy to take off the air.
Well, I guess the answer is quite easy. We, the old hands, are the pioneers of shortwaves. And the newcomers, the youngsters, they hardly know what shortwave is because they are accustomed to Internet and Skype and what have you. Nothing against Skype. It's a great thing as long as it works.
Yeah, they turn it on and they think it's like water. You know, you just turn it on and there the water runs.
That's right. I don't know what the future is of our shortwave policy. Jeff still believes in it.
And that makes three of us here at the table.
And When we listen to that station, what would we expect? 50% musical program interspersed with political comments and that sort of thing. But I mentioned Internet for us, which we are hardly capable of listening the 9 meg broadcast from Miami. So I think it would be good for those interested to tune to the Internet and see what's going on.
Well, Bob, this is a valid point. And, I mean, we have to just as quickly make the point. We are nobody here. Not one of us at this table is against the Internet. We're not against the use of satellites for sound broadcasting. But what we are saying is, and I've been reading a lot of stuff about this, what, for example... Oh, that's my daughter Diana's dog, the yellow Labrador Silver. I don't know what he's barking at. This is live radio, friends. But what people forget about, and the BBC knows it, the VOA knows it, because they've been direct victims of it, if somebody doesn't like you on the Internet, they literally pull the plug. If somebody sits there at a control panel and just pushes a button and you're gone, or they pull the patch cord out. If they don't like your satellite transmissions, they kill the satellite or jam it. Now, people don't think about that because since the end of the Cold War, in my opinion, and I don't want to prompt your agreement, but I have a feeling you both will agree with basically what I'm saying. We have been lulled into a false sense of security. We take the internet for granted, we take satellites for granted, and we don't think about this anymore. But the internet runs on satellite, it runs on computers, it runs on all kinds of international connections, which are supervised by so-called gatekeepers. There's no security. If they don't like you, they take you off. They take you out. That's it. But the one thing that will always get through is a shortwave signal. And fortunately, their idea is not broadcasting, but the military knows this. The military, I'm told, is holding on all over the world to HF facilities because they know in a pinch that's the only way they're going to get their signal through, Bob.
Yeah, you're right to a point, but shortwave, of course, is so much dependent upon radio propagation conditions, the sunspots, and so on and so forth. And you know, as well as I do, Bob, the sunspot has let us down for quite a number of years. I don't know what's going to be the end of it here. Will the good radio propagation conditions come back? And this is one of the shortcomings of shortwave.
But they're still getting through, Bob. Those big powerhouses, those 250 kWs, those 500 kWs are getting through. I mean, Jeff, you're running 50 kilowatts, which by shortwave standards is relatively small power. But you're getting through, aren't you?
Well, let me give you an example. When the earthquake occurred in Haiti earlier in this year, 2010, we started doing a one-hour daily broadcast, especially for Haiti. And we had programs from United Nations Radio in French and Creole, from other programmers, and even some religious programs in Creole. And we were hoping that this was getting through well to Haiti. We know we have a pretty good signal in Haiti from monitoring in the past, but we had some radios made up. There's an organization in Canada called Galcom that makes fixed-tuned radios, and they'll make them, they're solar-powered, and they pick up one frequency, and in this case, 9955 kilohertz.
A propagandist dream.
Well, we had a pastor, a Haitian pastor, who traveled down to Haiti just after the earthquake, and I gave him a box of these radios to take down there and hand out to people. And he came back and he said, these people were so happy because he said everybody lost their radios in the earthquake, first of all. They didn't have any radios. And he says, we turned these things on, and we could hear your signal loud and clear morning, noon, and night all day long. So, shortwave can still get through with the right circumstances, the right paths, and so on. So we were real happy about that.
Did you say it was solar powered?
Yes, they have a solar panel on them. They're about the size of a pack of cigarettes, a little bigger. And there's a little solar panel on them that charges up from the sun or from lights, any light source. And they have two rechargeable, I think they're NiCad batteries, that last years and years. And so people don't have to have batteries, which are very expensive or non-existent in a lot of these countries. We sent them into Cuba as well. And they power them just with the solar cell.
Thank you very much for coming up. It's good to see you again, as always. And for everybody who asks, Bob is in good health. He's doing well. He's full of life. And we just heard he's ready to get that antenna back up or a replacement and keep plugging away at HF. Bob, you have the honors to close out this special broadcast of the two Bobs.
A special broadcast indeed it was, and from the garden, open garden party, QSO and interview, having our guest Jeff White. So until we meet again, this is just truly Bob Tomlin and
Bob Zanotti and
Jeff White
saying goodbye,
good DXing,
and the very best of 73s.
Cheers, gentlemen.
And there we had a special presentation of the two Bobs, Bob Zanotti and Bob Thoman, speaking to our good friend Jeff White. And we hope you enjoyed that program. And I'm sure that many of you right now are thinking, oh my God, I remember them, and bringing back a lot of fond memories of that program. And hopefully those who had never heard it, well, it's given you an opportunity to hear a classic program on the world of communications that aired many years ago on the old Swiss Radio International. Now, before we end off, if you want to contact us, our email address is very simple. It's mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also listen to this program as well as all past editions by visiting our website, www.pcjmedia.com/MNP. Now, many of you right now who are listening to this program will also be getting a second edition of Media Network Plus, because as you know, once a month we also do a 55-minute edition. So hopefully you listen to that. Well, somebody asked me, what is the difference? And really, the 55-minute edition is sort of a compilation of the best material that we used over the course of 30 days on the weekly program. But, you know, maybe some of the content you want to hear again. So do tune in. You can also find it, of course, at our website as well. Anyway, I am going to leave you right now. We'll see you again in 7 days' time. So on behalf of everyone that put the program together, this is Keith Powell wishing you well, saying 73 and 88 to the ladies.